Well, welcome.
So I can just say you have like the most awesome name.
I do?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard. See, I have a weird name too, even though it's like Logan, it's spelled Lugan. So that makes me special and unique.
Yes, everyone's special.
I like that answer better.
But yeah, I think Geraldine's. Yeah, thank you. I think Geraldine's like a kind of old school name. When you look at it, if you look it up online, if you're like interested in that type of stuff, it's like mostly for people that were born in the 50s. If you find like, if you like, if I had a couple like older ladies like find me on Facebook and like try to friend me and be like, we're just making a group full of people named Geraldine. And I'm just like, that's cool, but I'm okay.
Yeah, that's odd.
But it lets me stand out. So like usually there's no other Geraldines in spaces, or at least not ones that's like a full name. Usually it might be like Jera and then like a space and Lynn. So makes me unique. I can always just put my first name on things and people would know who it is. So
So Logan was smart because he knew he had a unique spelling. He just grabbed like at Logan with every like social media channel. And Logan, isn't your email just like logan@gmail.com?
That is right.
And I just announced that to the world. Everyone go email Logan now. Did you grab any Geraldine things that you're just Geraldine on?
No, I think for the most part, like,
because you know, old ladies don't have internet.
That's true. You do have a leg up.
I do have a leg up. I think there are, I don't think I've ever grabbed like my own name as a handle for anything. Most of the time it's like parts of my name or like hyphenated things.
I did the plays on my names and all that kind of stuff forever. And then I realized, oh crap, no one else has my name. So it works.
Just grab it.
Strategy.
I always try Jackie and it never really works. Somebody always beats me to it. Do you go by Geraldine? Is there a nickname? Do you go by just Lynn? Jera?
Mostly Geraldine. Sometimes Jer. Usually that's the most common like nickname for me. It's just Jer. I used to be Jerry in high school. Every once in a while, but then I had a best friend named Jerry, and so then it got confusing.
Oh, that got hard. Yep.
so I'm mostly Geraldine for the most part, but Jer sometimes.
The thing that I like most about your name, though, is that the G makes a J sound, just like in GIF, which is the proper pronunciation of the word GIF, not GIF.
We've had this argument so many times on this show. I'm torn.
I know it's interesting but I think it's also that there's a lot of different ways that letters can be spelled across different languages and letters can sound too.
So I feel like no one's wrong when you say GIF or GIF.
Or that it can be anything, honestly. Like I think about G's in Spanish and G's and J's and stuff like that. And
that's a good point. Yeah, Logan. Who says that GIF is from an English origin? What if it's a Spanish word?
What if the guy who came up with it called it a GIF?
That is a pretty solid argument, I guess.
Tell us about you. Yeah.
Other than your name, because we've got that down pretty well, Pat.
Thanks. So I am currently a graduate student at the University of San Diego in their Higher Education and Leadership program. I work in our Mulvaney Center, which is our community engagement center on campus. And I'm a super big nerd. And I love singing. And I focus a lot on community building and wellness and self-care. I mean, that's kind of like what my research is about. That's what I'm giving a talk about at ACPA in a month, which is slightly scary. And that's a little bit about me.
Do you do all of this in song? Okay. Jersey.
That's a long way away from San Diego.
Yes, it is. I wanted to challenge myself for grad school. I went to Rutgers, so like a huge, big public school. And then University of San Diego is a small Catholic private school. So I was like, you know, I'm going to do this. I should do it big and try something very different. And I'm grateful for it. It's definitely been an adventure and a challenge, but I'm closing it out, which is exciting and scary all at the same time. I'm happy to have gone through this experience.
I know San Diego is such a horrible place compared to New Jersey. It's so warm and happy and next to a beach, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, New Jersey's next to a beach too.
Yeah, but it's a cold beach with a shore.
Much different kind of beach.
Not always.
Really?
It's not always cold. I mean, half the year it's That's cool. True. Like fall is pretty nice. I love the leaves. And then winter is cold and you might not really go to the beach then, but spring and summer are great.
Yeah.
Is the Jersey Shore really as the TV makes it out to be?
It's not only the one really. Part.
I think like it is a tourist attraction, and so that's where I think the television show focused on people that aren't actually from New Jersey at the Jersey Shore. I think that's that one part, but most of the shore is pretty chill and beautiful, and not quite as party and rocking.
Yeah. I've been to the New Hampshire Shore, just not the New Jersey Shore.
No, not New Jersey Shore, but yeah, I think it's so funny because people, when I tell people I'm from New Jersey, they go, "Oh, Joy-Z," and I'm like, "But I just said New Jersey, so like, why would you say that?"
That is
but
true.
So were you?
Is that the response?
Were you born in New Jersey? Because you have no accent. Wow.
Because we actually don't sound like that.
I know people from Jersey that sound like the stereotypical person from Jersey.
I think that's usually like North Jersey. And like areas closer to like New York, and then people that like go back and forth between like New Jersey and like Staten Island and Long Island, I think that kind of gives you a little bit of that mixture. But like I've grown up in New Jersey and no one I know sounds like that. And we're a small state. There's a lot of us there, but we're
right.
All state. So I think it's really interesting. I mean, maybe there's a small group that sounds like that, and maybe that's like what has been picked up in media, but
yep.
Most of the people I talk to and that I've grown up with sound like me.
The TV show wasn't doing you guys any favors though, that's for sure.
Well. Yeah. I mean, and most of them are from New York. I think there's maybe only one of them that was actually from New Jersey.
Yeah. Well,
Jackie's definitely got a New York accent.
I don't know what a New York accent is.
It's the sound of the thing that's coming out of your mouth.
Well, I think, there's two types of like, quote, New York accents, I guess, like whatever I have, which I grew up in Buffalo, but then there's the like you were just talking about the Long Island Jersey accent, which that's like way different.
I think it's really regional. I think also because like the states are such, at least those East Coast states have such influxes of different types of like immigrants that like it definitely like changes how people speak in certain areas. So I think some of it, like parts of places can be like super nasally and other places have like different types of drawn out vowels and stuff like that. Like South Jersey people sound partially like they're from Canada sometimes with like the A's and O's and stuff like that. So you never know. It's quite an interesting place to be in the Northeast.
It is.
Or Mid-Atlantic, depending on what you think of it.
I call it the Northeast. Do you see yourself staying out in San Diego? Or are you coming back? What are you going to do when you grow up?
I don't think I ever want to grow up, but part of that is I'm open to being wherever. I'm doing a national search. I've created a lot of really great family and friends out here in San Diego and in California. So I wouldn't mind staying, but all my family is back on the East Coast, so I'd be open to going back as well or trying someplace totally new. I think for me, it's all about like values and like work culture. Cause I think in a lot of ways, most of the work we do in higher education, prepares us to kind of do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that most skills are generally transferable. Sometimes certain areas have very particular, experiences that will prepare you for jobs. But for the most part, I think things are transferable. So I'm not so much worried about what area of higher ed, but kind of what values and the people and the culture there.
It's a really cool way to look at it. And I think that's an important way to look at it too, when you're looking at jobs. Because sometimes, I mean, it's really easy to get desperate and just say like, I'll just take whatever. But if you're not going to be happy there, then is it really worth, maybe waiting and seeing about that other job that you applied to, or looking mm-hmm. some more. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I think like it's a cool way of thinking about it, but it's also a little tough because I think it's hard to really get a feel for culture and community and values at schools and spaces
right.
without really spending time there. So
right.
We'll see how well that goes.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at the moment.
Yep. So this is your final year, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's so
exciting.
Terrifying.
Why is it terrifying?
I mean, I think it's the whole thing of the unknown. I think it's exciting to see how I can start a new adventure, but it's also like, you know, I finally got used to San Diego, made it home, and I will most likely leave because it's a very competitive area, and lots of different people looking for different things. And I'm not necessarily bound here. Like, my family's not here. I don't necessarily have a significant other or, like, kids or anything biting me here. So mm-hmm. I think that kind of newness is always a little scary, but it's, like, scary, exciting, like one of those thriller movies.
Yep. Oh, now I just want to like get up and go. I was never like that. No, I went to undergrad like an hour away from my house, and then mm-hmm. I ended up getting my first job like maybe 40 minutes away from where my undergrad was, and it was all kind of on accident that happened, but I have never really left. Well, I've never left New York State in terms of mm-hmm. moving or living. And so I don't know, you have to be very adventurous.
I moved mm-hmm. around a lot when I was a kid, and my parents moved to Tennessee when I was in high school, so I ended up going to college in Tennessee. But mm-hmm. then like a year or two into college, my parents moved to the Czech Republic.
Oh, and well, that's fun.
They haven't been back. Well, they went to, they came back for like 3 weeks after living there for 2 years, and then they went to South Africa, and then they moved to South Carolina. So my family abandoned me. they did more of the traveling around. Oh, I mean that in the most lovable way. I got to go to Europe for free out of it, so I can't complain too much. But it was definitely interesting. When after my parents left, my closest family was like 600 miles away. So
wow.
It's funny because I went to college near home and then home left. It's like home moved away. So it was definitely an interesting experience. But as you've probably learned, I think it helps you grow a little bit. It really does.
Yeah.
If your support system leaves, you have to find a support system, and you're usually pretty good at doing that. I mean, you're considering what you do. You probably are pretty good at it. Me, I'm a little introverted. So sometimes, but at least back then I was. So now I'm not. Now I do social media and I deal on the internet all day. So I guess I'm a little more extroverted than I used to be.
I think situations dictate that sometimes. I feel like I've gotten more introverted as I started my graduate program. I think it's mostly because I like realized how much like self-care I need to do for myself, and that like mm-hmm. without having that family space necessarily to do it, I had to like make that space for myself. So
right.
I had to be like, okay, so these are the hours I work. When I really don't have the energy to go out or go to the movies or just hang out, like it's okay to say no.
Right.
And so I've found that I'm probably more of a mixture of an introvert and extrovert. I like being with people. I find community is one of my core values. And I like talking. And so I find myself in like workspaces and club spaces and school spaces, more of an extrovert most of the time. But usually like at home, I'm pretty much a homebody. I'm the chillest out of all of my roommates. I like just lounging in my bed and watching Korean dramas and Netflix.
That's fantastic.
Is it bad? Is it bad that I enjoy Korean dramas too?
Oh my god!
Korean and Japanese.
Not.
So yay.
Yes.
I watch anime too, which is probably
Oh gosh, anime is what got me through middle school and high school. It's the truth. Oh gosh, that's hard. I think something I always go back to is like Samurai and Champloo. I think it's like the music and the style of it.
Great. The style's great. That's a good show.
And I still listen to the music whenever I'm like writing for classes or working on my research and things like that. Like it's like half upbeat, half soothing, and there's usually not any words or anything that I will get caught up in singing and dancing to. So
yeah, that one and Cowboy Bebop. The music in Cowboy Bebop's amazing.
Oh yeah. There used to be, I think it's like a carnival or like a parade song that my aunt used to play whenever we would go on go on adventures with her and stuff like that. Because my cousin went to Parsons and he's one of the people that introduced me to anime and stuff like that, like early on, like Cardcaptor Sakura and Sailor Moon and things like that.
Yes.
And so he used to like burn her CDs of music and stuff like that. And even though she didn't watch it, my aunt didn't like watch Cowboy Bebop or anything else like that, like she had the soundtrack and like that song was like the go-to, like, hey, we're hanging out, we're going on adventures to Hershey Park or the mall or the movies, and this is our soundtrack.
That's so amazing. I'm sorry, Jackie.
I mean,
usually I'm nerding out about Star Wars or something like
that. I know,
that,
and I'm sitting here not being able to contribute.
This time we took it to the level that I don't normally talk about.
Listen, this is all about getting to know folks that work in higher ed, not on the higher ed level, and that just happened. So I'm happy.
Yes, it did.
I guess I have to go watch more anime. I remember watching Sailor Moon as a kid. That was, like, on TV. But I don't think I ever really watched, like, this level of anime.
Well, my level's probably more than most people will ever go to. I have a premium subscription to Crunchyroll, so it's part of my weekly thing is to sit down and watch stuff.
Weekly wellness.
Huh? Yes.
Wellness.
It keeps
that's
me from going nuts.
That's a perfect transition. It's like we it's like we planned it. Because that is your topic at ACPA.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more. Wait, first tell the title because I really like it.
Okay, so it's I Am Not Wonder Woman, Graduate Assistant Wellness in Higher Education. So
superhero.
Yeah. Say again?
I was just like, it's a superhero, but you're not.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the basis of it. I think higher education is a serving profession. We do what we do to serve our campus communities, our students, faculty, staff, community members. And so sometimes you can get caught up in this need to be perfect, to be superheroes, to be saviors. And that can be super dangerous and harmful in a lot of different ways. I think as much as we as a society are geared towards unrealistic standards of perfection, I mean, I think about what we're supposed to achieve by societal standards, like thinking about like beauty standards and like how much test scores play into things or how much money plays into our lifestyles. So I've found that when I started graduate school, I had these really unrealistic expectations of myself and of how I was going to work, how I was going to live. I moved almost 3,000 miles away from everything I'd ever known. And I thought I could learn a new job, a new school, a new city, new community within like 2 or 3 months. And when I didn't, and when I wasn't totally settled and happy and knew all the things I needed to know, I was really upset with myself and I was really hard on myself. And I had set these unrealistic standards that I just couldn't reach. Mm-hmm. And it was hurting me in a lot of ways. I think when I had those unrealistic standards, like I didn't notice when I was not as excited about going to classes or the work I was doing or being with people, when I was like sleeping more but still being tired and just not able to engage as much, I still feel like I couldn't say that Like, I had to be perfect, or I had to, like, get this right. I didn't feel like I could ask for help because I thought, like, I was supposed to be setting a standard. I am the first kid in my family to go to grad school. And, like, figuring out that I was thinking I was doing it wrong or messing up was a big part of, like, why it took me so long to realize that, you know, like, I shouldn't be going for perfection. I should be just trying to make the best of what I have and asking for help and relying on the community that I had built here. But it took a really long time. And so I think sometimes our favorite superheroes or fictional characters can be the things that we aspire to. And I think I talk a little bit about Olivia Pope in my presentation and how, like, she is this boss woman and is fixing all these things in DC and handling all the scandals. But when you think about it, yeah, maybe she's handling all the things for her job. But think about her personal life, her relationship with her family, all her scandals and, like, affairs with different people, like, how messed up that is and how stressed she is and how unhappy she is in those aspects. And so thinking of fictional characters as, like, things to maybe inspire you but not to aspire to, and realizing that there's really awesome people right in front of you in real life, between mentors, people you see and are inspired by within your field, outside of your field, your favorite authors. Like, those are people who are real people who live in the real world with real problems and issues, and are vulnerable. And that's what we are as human beings. We're not superheroes. We're not fictional characters who have their issues finished and fixed by closing credits.
Right. I think, like, there's this, I don't know, being, like, quote, a millennial, this, like, new kind of unspoken expectation that, like, we need to keep doing things. Like, people are constantly multitasking. You know, I work up at Skidmore College, where every student is at minimum major with a minor, and, you know, those things aren't necessarily related. It's just because they're like, well, I don't know if I really like this thing and I just want to take all these classes, and they're in, like, 17 different clubs. And it's like, why are we all, like, trying to be stressed almost? Like, we're trying to stretch ourselves so far because we see everybody around us doing the same thing. And we think that's, like, the standard that we have to live at. And like you said, like, realizing that, you know, I need to check in on myself, but also, like, this is important. This, I can't keep going like this. And some people don't realize it. And that's really neat that you not only realize it, but built a presentation about it.
Yeah.
I feel that way sometimes. You know, stretched too thin. It's just, sometimes life turns out that way. But you gotta take your time. You gotta watch your anime. Gotta play your PlayStation every year. Every year, like I have this year, for instance, and it was last year too. My resolution is to run a half marathon and play more PlayStation.
Do you do it every year?
I just realized I haven't signed up for the race that I am training for right now, but I'll do that this weekend. I know, right? The PlayStation thing, I don't know. I've been really bad at that lately, but, so far I bought a new game, so that's step forward, right? So I don't know, but sometimes it's nice to escape and not think about things. That's something you got to do, that and take more vacation.
Yep. Use those days.
I feel like that's something that our generation's really bad at, is using vacation. Or maybe it's just me, but I feel like I don't know if it's always just me. I've seen studies that say that millennials don't like taking vacation, but I don't know. I guess I have this weird innate duty sense that says, Logan, you need to do this. So I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I think sometimes it could be the way we think about vacations, or like the way we look at them. Like, it could doesn't necessarily have to be you take like a week or 2 weeks off to go someplace tropical. It could be like a weekend up and away, and that's like a quick drive or a short flight, or just a weekend where you're just disconnected. And mm-hmm. so I think there's lots of ways to think about vacations and things like that, and to think outside the box when it comes to those types of things.
Yeah, but yeah, I do a lot of staycations.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So have you ever presented a Pecha Kucha like style before? Because they intimidate me.
Not quite. I've had to do like short talks before. I did a TED Talk type thing just my senior year of college at Rutgers. And I had like 10 minutes. But
okay.
Like this, I didn't have like automatically.
Yeah, it's like moving on its own. And
So it is definitely tough. But I also think I'm a very wordy person. I think it's like the artist in me that just likes being very descriptive.
Right.
And in-depth. And this type of presentation does not always lend itself to that part of myself. So,
yeah, you basically have to have it like memorized because you want to time it right.
Mm-hmm. It's memorization, and it's also kind of just being concise, figuring out how to word things still creatively, but to like get to a point and that's it. So you don't have to elaborate a lot. So that's been a challenge for me, but it's been cool. I've had a really supportive team. Everyone that's doing Pachakachas, we have a couple of chats last month and this month to help prepare ourselves for this and to practice and things like that and get feedback. And they've been really great and supporting and giving some constructive criticism and different things like that. So I think it'll be good. I just need to work on cutting down.
So which one, obviously aside from yours, are you most excited about?
Ooh.
I'm sure you've looked at the lineup. Have you like listened to, you said you got feedback. Have you listened to other folks who are going to be presenting at ACPA?
Yeah. Cool. We have the group. So I've only listened to half of people's talks. And so I'll hear the other ones in a couple weeks. But I think right now there's one on microaggressions that I'm interested in hearing. I haven't heard that one yet.
That sounds interesting.
Probably what I'll be hearing about next time. One of our presenters is talking about how CrossFit saved his life.
I did see that. I'm interested about that one.
That was
too.
A really good presentation. And there's another one around like storytelling and empathy that I thought was like super beautiful. I think they're all great. Honestly, and they tell great stories. So I would say if you can, for anyone out there that's going to be listening and is going to be at ACPA, to check them all out if you can. It'll be a Tuesday evening. But yeah, those are some of the ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
I'm sure they'll all be wonderful.
Yep.
Definitely.
I wonder if they're going to be available digitally after the conference.
We'd usually they are. Yours. They do record them.
Oh, you have to send it along.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to check it out. And I assume this is not your first ACPA.
You assume what? Say that one more time.
Is it your first ACPA conference?
No, I actually went last year to the one in Montreal, which was
exciting.
I went with my best friend. She was just finishing up her graduate program. And we didn't graduate together. She's a year ahead of me in undergrad. We were like very similar kindred spirits. And we hadn't really had a lot of time to spend together. So we were like, okay, so we're going to go to ACPA. We're going to have like almost a week just to hang out and chill.
Yeah.
And so that was really fun to have adventures with her, and to have my first conference experience that way, internationally.
That's so neat. I've never been up to Montreal, actually, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. I'll have to go.
Yeah. Well,
I've never been to Canada.
What?
It's there.
You should do that.
It's pretty cool. It seems like a cool place to visit at the moment. And Trudeau's that a cool guy.
I was about to say, Trudeau.
Yeah, he's a neat guy. Very cool. So how are things on your campus? We always ask this question. What's going on? Anything cool coming up? Or cool things that are going on in your office? Or, mm-hmm. I mean, in life, you're graduating soon, so that's a big deal.
Yeah, cool things. So there's lots of different things happening on campus. Maybe this is the higher ed, like, nerd in me, but we have a new president. So he's really cool, and I think this is the first time I've had a president that has his degree in education. Most presidents are, like, some sort of, like, faculty and have some sort of, like, degree that has led them to be in classrooms and things or research before. Right. But he has his degree in education, so I think he's really in tune with campus and where to take things. And so this is his second year, so he kind of, like, started when I started, and so it's been really cool to see how he's grown what's happening at USD. He has this cool... I don't think I've ever been this excited about a, like, strategic plan, which is, like, really weird, but it's...
That's really higher ed nerdy.
Yeah, really higher ed nerdy, but I'm really excited for what's happening there. I think, like, one thing is that I'm kind of sad because I will be leaving, and there's not necessarily a lot, like, of hiring happening on campus at the moment, so I didn't know if I'll be able to stay, but I think I'm excited for, like, what's happening there. In my office, community engagement, a lot of our stuff is off campus because we're in the community often. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of really great students that are involved in different programs and different schools in our community of Linda Vista, which is where USD is situated within San Diego. And so I think they're just day-to-day engagement and connection with community members and kids around town and things like that is really important and exciting for me. Bringing people together. San Diego is one of the biggest, immigrant refugee landing sites. Mm-hmm. And so my students have been doing a lot of different work with the refugee community here in San Diego and trying to support them and in different ways through, soccer and, academic counseling and mentoring and friendships. So I think that's really exciting for me.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And so, like, there's a lot of different stuff. I think I'm part of Graduate Student Council, and we just had our elections tonight. So I'm excited to pass the torch on, and to see what happens with graduate students. That's one of my passion areas. I think people forget there's graduate students on campuses sometimes and that they're students and still growing and things like that. So I'm excited to see what's happening there.
There does seem to be a big focus on undergrad when it comes to student life and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, part of it is that sometimes graduate students, like, have families and full lives outside of the university, maybe don't need as much.
Right.
But I think for a lot of people, it should still be, for a lot of people, like, it should still be there if you want it. I came right out of undergrad, so I was used to, like, that engagement at an undergrad level, and, like, the difference in engagement was a little bit startling and support and things like that. So I'm like, I think that's super interesting. Right now there's a silent disco happening outside. So
fun.
That's a cool thing happening right at this moment.
I have never participated in a silent disco. That's on my list.
I've done one.
I never knew things like that existed.
What? Do you not know what a silent disco is?
I'm sure it happens all the time. Outside oh my gosh. Of my thing.
It's so fun. Well, I can't say it's fun because I've never participated, but it looks so fun. So everyone gets the playlist in advance, but you don't listen to it. And you're supposed to meet at a certain time in, like, a large field or, like, the college green type thing. And everyone listens to the music on their own headphones. And so technically it's, like, silent to the outside world, but everyone's listening to the same song at the same time. So it's, like, the best way to have a party without disturbing your neighbors.
I guess it's a good place to end on.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gerlin, so much. We're so excited that you could have been on the show with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And listeners, thank you, of course, for sticking with us tonight. If you are interested in seeing more of our podcast and taking a listen, you can find us online at highered.social or on Twitter at HES Podcast. Please, please leave us a review. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher, where you could listen to our episodes and also leave us a review. And of course, if you want to be on the show, let us know, because we want to meet some awesome people that work in higher education. So have a great rest of the week.
I guess it's a good place to end on.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for joining us. And right. I don't have the thing up, so I forgot the script. My brain just farted.
Have a usual closing.
This is why we have editing, because sometimes.
Yeah, there's like a little closing bit that Logan has said. This is what, the 80th
episode? 81st time.
Would you like me to just do it?
Hey, how about you do it this time?
Okay.